All right. We did that before. That plant was all but dead. And we prayed for it. And it came back. All right. What? I don't know. Okay, open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 4, verse 14. We're going to start a study on covenants. Covenants are absolutely vital to understand when you're dealing with the Bible, because everything is based off of covenants. And, you know, there's satanic organizations that have a better understanding of covenants than most of the church. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Cosa Nostra. They were mafia, and they would make these covenants with each other, and if you said anything out of line with their covenant, you were dead. And what the Western world calls covenants is contracts. And the way the Western world views contracts is contracts were made to be broken. Let's see. There's covenants, and covenants were no matter what. And we're going to study some of these and get a full understanding of what a blood covenant really is and why it's so important for us to understand what a blood covenant is. Now let's look at Luke chapter 4. Verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That is a result of thousands of years of covenants. Right there. Jesus on this earth to set us free. When we realize all these different covenants that we've been through, that the world has been through, we realize that Jesus on this earth is a result of the most important covenant we'll ever hear about. Now, let's look at Genesis chapter 1. We're just getting a little bit of text here. Yeah. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moved, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle, creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image after his likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, the first thing you need to understand is the first thing God did was he released his word, and there was no challenge against his faith. There was no challenge against his faith. What he said was so. The second thing you need to understand is that God created the ultimate, his own image, with the word of his power. Everything was created with the word of his power. Now I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But under the sun, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And yet thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall all wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall fail not. Now, after the fall in the garden, God created another with his word, the Son of Man, by making a covenant with man. See, God created Adam in his likeness. And he gave him a specific job. And that was to take care of the garden. That was his job. And he messed it up and he got kicked out. Now, here's something we need to understand. To preach is to make a covenant. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Well, before we go there, let's look at Acts chapter 10, 34. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, and in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Then in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, we just were there. It talked about how the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind. And to preach and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus was describing himself. He found himself in the Bible. That's the same thing we do. If Jesus had to find himself in the Bible, we have to find ourselves in the Bible. That's why it's so important to go in there and find these different things where it describes us, you know, where it talks about us being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You just found yourself. Where it talks about us being made new creatures in Christ Jesus. See, our identity always has to be rooted in Jesus. It can never be of ourselves. See, that's the important thing. Everything about us, our salvation, our healing, our prosperity, our protection, our deliverance is always rooted in Jesus. And it's because of a covenant. See, Jesus walked a walk that we could not walk. And he never made a mistake. And then he got on the cross for us. And now we are the righteousness of God in him because of what he did. All we had to do was raise our hand and said, Jesus, be my Lord. We could never ever earn our righteousness. We could never earn anything good from God, all we could do is receive it. And it's always because somebody else did something right. See, the anointing of God is on the word to accomplish what is preached. When we preach the word of God, things change. When we preach our own ideas, not so much. When we preach our own doctrine, it doesn't do much. But when we preach the gospel, that changes things. Sometimes it makes people really, really mad. Sometimes people get upheld. You know, I've seen the anointing in places be so strong where people would start preaching and then people would just start getting up out of wheelchairs. They didn't pray for anybody. They just started preaching the Word of God and people would start getting up healed. They received the Word of God. See, the Bible tells us that He sent His Word and it healed them. We can receive our healing from the Word of God the same way they did. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 42. He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To Him give all the prophets witness that through His name whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter went on. How about that? All Peter did was just preach. He was just preaching the Word of God. He was preaching Jesus to them. And next thing you know, these guys got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have to go through any religious ceremony, no special nothing. They just heard the Word of God and received it, and they got that. And it fell on the Gentiles too. See, that's all inclusive. That covers everybody. It covers the Jews and the Gentiles. Now look at Luke chapter 5, verse 17. It came to pass on a certain day, as He was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Whenever the gospel is being preached, the power of the Lord is available to people that need healing. But it's got to be the gospel. It's got to be the Word of God. It can't be any other idea. It's got to be His Word, and it's got to be in the name of Jesus. When we keep it that simple, people get healed. People get born again. People get set free. I noticed, I've seen people start talking about religious rules and stuff to people that weren't born again, and they just go blank. They just shut down. But I've seen people that started talking about freedom in Christ and actually witnessing to Jesus. And it turns people on. When they find out about the love and forgiveness of God, that changes them from the inside out. And see, we've been made ministers to help people partake of this covenant. See, in the Bible, it tells us that you've been made ambassadors for Christ, and your job is to reconcile people unto God. The same way somebody helped you get reconciled with God, that means somebody came and told you, said, look, you don't have to go to hell. If you call on the name of the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. God's not mad at you. He forgives you. And they get born again. Then you go tell somebody else that. You're taking up your job as being a minister of reconciliation. And all of us have that job. It's not just the preachers. It's every believer in Christ. We all have that job to be witnesses. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you making mention of you in my prayer. See, Paul was telling them that you heard the word of grace. You heard the gospel. That's how you got born again. And he went on to this prayer. And this is a prayer not just to the Ephesians, but to the whole church. This is a prayer directly to you that Paul was speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit for you. That you would understand that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him in His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under His feet, gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. So He's telling us our position in this whole thing. We're the body of Christ. We're seated at the right hand of God. We have a ministry of reconciliation. He wants us to understand the resurrection of Christ. He wants us to understand that it's that power that raised Jesus back to life. It's that same Holy Spirit that operates in you. And our job is to go out there and tell other people about Jesus. He powered us up. He equipped us and He sent us. We do have a job. Now Jesus gave gifts to men. He anointed men to go and make a covenant with the world. You accepted and now you live by faith in that covenant. See, somebody went and told you about Jesus and you accepted and you got in that covenant. See, in the old times, these covenant heads would come together and they make a covenant with each other. And as far as they were concerned, their kids for generation after generation after generation were eligible for this covenant. When they got old enough to make a decision one way or another, they would go to whoever the head of the covenant was and said, I want to be in this covenant. Or, if they chose not to be in that covenant, they could go and say, I don't want to be in this covenant. We're in the same thing. When we present Jesus to somebody, and they say, yes, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord, they've effectively said, yes, I want to be a part of this covenant. If they say, no, I don't want Jesus to be my Lord, they said, I do not want to be a part of this covenant. That's as simple as it can be, right there. I want to look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 real quick. Yeah. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You've been given these things not because of something you've earned, but because what somebody else did, and you came up and said, yes, I want to be a part of this deal, it automatically becomes yours. Now, we're going to receive these things through the knowledge of Him. The more we learn of Jesus, the more of these things we're going to receive. But you're not going to receive something you don't know about. See, there's a bad saying in this world that says what you don't know won't hurt you. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. Because I'm here to tell you that what you don't know can and will hurt you. See, if you don't know that God still heals people today, and you get sick, what are you going to do? You know, you can run to the doctor, and maybe, you know, he can mask the symptoms good enough for you to get feeling better. Maybe you'll get better sometimes. Sometimes you'll be strung out on his medicine for a long, long time. But if you know that God is still in the healing business and you run to him and cast yourself on his mercy and receive his grace, guess what? You get healed by the master, by the maker. It kind of surprises me how people operate in spiritual principles in the natural, but they won't operate in spiritual principles on themselves in the spirit. See, if you have a Dodge car and something happens to your Dodge car, you'd be a fool to rush that thing down to the Chevy dealer and say, fix this thing. They'd look at you like you was plumb nuts. People know that. When a Dodge breaks, they take it to the Dodge shop. When a Ford breaks, they take it to the Ford shop. They have a hard time understanding that when a people breaks, they need to take it to the God shop. See, He created you. He designed you. He knows every little tiny thing about you. He even numbered the hairs on your head. He knows where every one of them fell out. He knows everything about you. There's nothing about you that He doesn't know, just in case you think you're keeping a secret from God. There's nothing about you He doesn't know. He made you. He knew you while you was in the womb. And He had a plan for you. I imagine He probably kind of looks at us kind of strange, maybe, when we get sick and we run to the doctor first. Sometimes we use prayer as a last out option when we tried everything else to see if we can get this to work. That should be our first go-to. God should be the first one we run to. We belong to Him. He is our Father. We're going to stop there because we're not going to get much farther than that. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for everything that you do for us. Father, we thank you for this great and powerful covenant that you put us in when we got born again. We ask you to show us everything that we need to understand about this covenant so that we can take it and we can operate in your kingdom, so that we know that we understand what Jesus did for us. It'll build faith in our hearts. And we will operate the way we're designed to. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.